produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Very good morning to you. It's morning in Pretoria, South Africa, here where I am, and it's a very cold morning, so I want to wish all of you a warm morning in whatever nation you may be. And today we're on our weekly radio program, and I really wanted to talk to you about boundaries. Today our topic and our subject matter is going to be on boundaries, and the topic I have specifically chosen is themed Relationship Boundaries for Victorious Kingdom Living. So it's Relationship Boundaries for Victorious Kingdom Living. And I want to start off our sharing this morning by saying that one of the greatest, I think, lies or misconceptions within the body of Christ and with believers is that there are no boundaries. You know, we'll talk about freedom and liberty. There's liberty and freedom in Christ, which there is, but we need to understand that within proper context. And if we don't, then we're going to have a real challenge around setting boundaries. And setting boundaries is biblical. Setting boundaries is a kingdom protocol. Setting boundaries is expected of us. And so I don't want us to misunderstand freedom of freedom in Christ when we have liberty in Christ. We don't, for instance, have freedom to sin. So that freedom is not a blanket right. It's not a blanket freedom. There's no freedom to sin. We don't have freedom to insult people. We don't have freedom to kill. We don't have freedom to humiliate people. So that's why I'm saying we must contextualize that freedom. It's a freedom that we must put in proper perspective and context. So let's not misunderstand freedom. The Word of God, the fact that we have a Word of God that gives us direction, that instructs us, that alone tells us that freedom is not limitless, because it's the Word of God that now sets boundaries in terms of what we should do and what we shouldn't do. You know, Scripture tells us, God says, if you obey my commandments, then, you know, if we're obedient and we obey His commandments, that's when we're now going to be prosperous. We're going to do well. We'll eat the good of the land. But that will only happen if we now place boundaries, set boundaries in terms of how we do things, in terms of our life, all of those. So the fact also that they're commandments that give us direction and instruction tells us that they're boundaries. And for us to really be victorious, for us to be successful in fulfilling our kingdom assignment, it's important to put boundaries. And today, I'm going to be sharing a little bit about some of the boundaries, relational or relationship boundaries, that maybe we need to reflect on. This is a huge, huge topic, so clearly I'm not going to exhaust all the boundaries, but I'm just going to speak about a few of them in about maybe four or five different categories, and trust that, you know, it'll help you in some way, and that you yourself, after this, will be challenged to begin to examine maybe some of the boundaries that you and I need to put in place in our lives so that we can have a better relationships where we are. Amen. First boundaries I want to talk about in terms of relationship boundaries is the boundaries between a minister of the gospel or a shepherd, somebody who's been assigned in one of the fivefold ministries, and the people that God has assigned to you to steward, the congregation that God has given you to steward, not to own, but to steward. So the ministry relationship between the shepherd, the assigned vessel, the assigned leader, and the people that they are assigned to teach, train, equip, activate, and release into ministry, according to Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. So first and foremost, as I want to talk about boundaries that we need to set. And often, quite often, one of the things that many of us do as ministers of the gospel is counsel. Counsel is a regular part of what we do. We do it quite often. People come to us for help, and whatever counsel we give must be based on the word of God. There are boundaries that we need to put into place so that we do not find ourselves in trouble. One of the helpful practical boundaries that one can put into place is the venue. Where you counsel somebody is very important. And one of the boundaries I think that's helpful in maintaining your relationship, for instance, with your family. It's helpful if you counsel people from your office. Counsel them from your office. If you have an office, it's better to counsel them from your office than from your home, because your family place should be a place of privacy, a place where your family can enjoy you without interruption. And so it's good if you have an office somewhere where you can actually be counseling people. That's a nice way to put a boundary between you and the congregation, so that your family is not always invaded by people from outside, and they can have their time of privacy as well. Another boundary that's important to bear in mind when you're counseling, especially a member of the opposite sex, if you are a male pastor and counseling a female pastor, it's good to put in boundaries as well. If you are in an office, you know, do things like leave the door open. It's always good to counsel in an office. Maybe let somebody else be there as well. They need not be in the same room, but to be there. Those are boundaries that are good, because many people fall into temptation, into sexual sin, and many people get into inappropriate relationships through counseling. The majority of inappropriate relationships between pastors or fivefold ministers and their congregation, many of which are male pastors getting into wrong and inappropriate relationships with female pastors, many of them are born, they come out of counseling. So when counseling a member of the opposite sex, it is good to put those boundaries. And if you're a male pastor, it's even good to also involve your wife and let her take some of those counseling. You know, I always say that if somebody who really needs counseling cannot be counseled to by your wife, I don't think they're actually that desperate. Sometimes some people who come looking for counseling are not really looking for counseling. They have another agenda. And it's important to be aware of that. So those are some of the boundaries that one needs to put in when you're counseling members of congregation, to make sure that you're not lured into sexual sin or sexual temptation. Or you yourself may even be the predator. In some instances, it's the pastor who is the predator, the wolf. So those boundaries need to be put in place so that you also limit any temptation that you may be exposed to. So that's a little bit around boundaries of a minister of the gospel, etc. Make sure that you avoid inappropriate relationships. Boundaries, there are some other boundaries that are important to put in. Avoid doing things like borrowing money from people who God has given you responsibility to steward. That will seem it's inappropriate, and it may look like you're taking advantage of people who you are supposed to be shepherding and looking after. Avoid doing things like that, borrowing money. And also, very important for ministers of the gospel, make sure that you allocate your time properly. Do not minister so much and give of yourself so much that you end up burning out. And I want to say this, that Jesus himself set boundaries in his life. In Matthew 26, 36 to 38, we read this scripture. This is where Jesus was actually seeking out the company of friends, of close friends. And it says, then Jesus came with them. Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And in verse 37, it says, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And in verse 38, it says, then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. So in this scripture, this is a scripture where, you know, Jesus, just before Jesus was about to be crucified and he understood the time that he was in, he actually deliberately went to seek out the company of close friends. You know, he talked to the disciples, and then there was an inner core of the disciples, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, who he brought. He sought out their comfort. He sought out their friendship. He sought them out personally during that time. So Jesus knew when to seek out the company of close friends. There's times when you need to set boundaries, where it's not everybody you need to be around, but there's some people who you just need to be around in times of distress, in times of where you need comfort. Know who to go to. Set the boundaries. Set boundaries between those who are associates and those who you need as close, intimate friends who can console, encourage, and comfort you. Again, there are times when Jesus set boundaries where he completely separated himself from people completely. In Luke 5, verses 5 and 16, we find a scenario when there were so many demands being brought on, brought to Jesus. So many people were requiring his attendance. So many people were placing demands on him. And this is what Jesus did when there was so much demand being placed on him. In Luke 5, verse 15, we read as follows. However, the report went around him concerning him all the more. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And verse 16 tells us, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So this is a time now when Jesus saw that there were so many demands being placed on him. You know, virtue was leaving him. So much expected of him. He didn't allow people to withdraw, to make so many demands on him that he became burnt out. But in verse 16, it tells us that he often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. This is another case where Jesus was placing boundaries. As a minister of the gospel, don't allow people to place so many demands on you that you become burnt out. And when you become burnt out, you become useless in the kingdom of God, useless to other people, useless to your family, and useless even to yourself. So that is another instance where it's very important to know when to put boundaries so that you do not become burnt out, you do not become ill, your body can be placed under so much pressure that you become ill. Many ministers have died prematurely from health-related illnesses that could have been avoidable, from high blood pressure, from all sorts of things, from tumors and growths. So don't allow yourself to be burnt out. Place boundaries to ensure that you live a healthy life and you rest, you are able to sleep, and you don't get burnt out. God still needs you to fulfill your assignment and to run your race and finish it in, you know, completely, not die prematurely. The second area where I want to talk about, we've talked about a few examples around placing boundaries as a minister of the gospel. And you know, at some level, all of us are actually called to be ministers of the gospel. Not all called to the fivefold ministry, but all of us are called to be ministers. Now, the second area I want to talk about is relationship dating or courtship boundaries. Courtship boundaries. When you are in courtship, it's important, beloveds, to begin to put boundaries in your courtship, whoever you are courting in courtship with, make sure that you put those boundaries so that, you know, you do not derail your assignments. You do not get out of God's will. You're able to obey and you're able to enter. If that relationship results in a marriage covenant relationship, you are able to enter it without any luggage, you know, any wrong foundations, because your foundation of marriage needs to be a foundation of holiness, needs to be a foundation of not having entered into a sexual relationship prematurely. So you need to put boundaries in place while you are in a relationship, while you are courting, with a view to possibly and probably entering into a marriage relationship. And so one of the things you need to do, which you must be careful of doing, is avoid placing yourselves in any place where you might be open to sexual temptation. Avoid that. James 4 says this. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the Bible says that, tells us, you know, in scripture that we must resist the devil and he will flee from us. We must resist. So it's incumbent on us always to resist the devil, resist him with the word of God, resist him. We also resist him by not putting ourselves in temptation. But there's something that I noticed, that, you know, we are told that we resist and the devil will flee. In one instance, though, the Bible tells us to flee. In the instance of sexual sin or sexual immorality, the Bible actually says we must flee. So this is not even a case now of the devil fleeing, but we must flee. The power of sexual sin can be so overwhelming. The temptation to sin can be so overwhelming. God tells us that, listen, in this instance, I want you to flee. And in 1 Corinthians 6:18, this is what the word of God says. It says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. So if you're in a relationship, if you're in a courtship, flee, flee. Don't many couples do the wrong thing and they say, oh no, but you know, I'm strong, I can resist. No. Don't make that mistake of tempting yourself. Be sure to create environments where you will flee that temptation. Make sure that you don't create an environment where you're open to now being tempted to do what, you know, is described in the Bible as fornication. Fornication simply meaning sex outside of marriage. So put in boundaries. It's important if you're in a courtship relationship. Parents, encourage your children to do that. Help them to put boundaries to help them resist temptation. Encourage group dating, for instance. Let them go on dates with others around. Let them not always be just by themselves. But group dating is one way to flee sexual temptation. Let them be together publicly, in public, you know, let them avoid the secret. Don't encourage secret courtship at all. And let them be together in public and during the day, especially, not just nighttime dating, because, you know, that will help keep them accountable. And when you, whatever you do in the light, whatever you do openly, that is open and you're transparent, light always pushes back darkness. So darkness is secrecy. Darkness is in hiding. And that's when you'll find your children getting in trouble, you know, getting pregnant and all of those things, because whatever is done in darkness, that's where the enemy finds room to now bring people to in a place where they now sin. So make sure, shine the light on it. Keep it open. Keep it public. Make it transparent. And that will help. Those are some of the ways that you can put boundaries to ensure that the relationship and the courtship is a relationship that is pleasing to God and does not take you into a place where you become disobedient to God's word. Another thing to place area to look at in terms of placing boundaries is also if you're in a courtship still, we're still on courtship, financial commitments. Place boundaries also in terms of finance and financial commitments. Don't be too quick and too eager to start making financial commitments as a couple before you are married. So the Bible says that the two, when you get married, you become one. The two become one. You become one after marriage. So let your bank accounts also become one after marriage. So I'm not saying don't take the person you're courting out on a date, you know, stuff like that. Don't pay for them. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about serious financial commitments. Make those after the marriage. So put boundaries while you're still in courtship. Put boundaries in terms of physical touching. Put boundaries in terms of financial commitments. Put boundaries and make sure that they're boundaries that are placed to make sure that you align with the word of God. Praise the Lord. Boundaries within a marriage. This is now the third category of relationships that we're talking about. We talked about relationships between a minister of the gospel and the congregants. We've talked about boundaries that need to be placed in terms of courtship relationships. Also, boundaries need to be placed in if you are a married couple. Marriage is a covenant relationship, and it is incumbent on both the husband and the wife, the man and the woman who are in covenant relationship, you must protect the relationship. So by protecting the relationship, it will require you to put boundaries in your life as a married couple. And you need to understand from the beginning that the enemy hates marriage. Marriage symbolically and prophetically, you know, God talks about, the word of God talks about the church being the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And so marriage, really one of the things that we see in terms of the earthly marriage between a man and a woman, it is also symbolic. That intimate relationship is symbolic of the marriage between Christ and his bride. Christ and his bride. That's why marriage in its true form, in its genuine form, can never be polygamous. People tried to justify polygamy in the Bible because it was done, you know, in the Old Testament days, etc. But the true form of marriage is a marriage between one. That's Christ is not polygamous towards the church. Christ is just a one-on-one relationship. There's the bride of Christ. Christ does not have many brides. He has one bride. It's not a polygamous relationship. And so marriage, our earthly marriages, are symbolic and prophetic. They carry a prophetic symbolism between the marriage between Christ and his bride. And Christ is not promiscuous towards the bride. And so because the marriage is not supposed to be open to promiscuity, we must protect the relationship and put boundaries. Put boundaries again. 1 Corinthians 6:18 is applicable. Put boundaries. Flee sexual immorality. Make sure that you flee sexual temptation as a husband, as a wife. Don't put yourself in situations where you are found to be having to resist temptation. Don't put yourself, be found going to bars by yourself. All of those things. Flee sexual immorality. Joseph fled sexual immorality. He found himself in a situation not of his own making, where Potiphar's wife was pursuing him relentlessly. And Genesis 39:12 tells us that he ran so fast that he left his coat behind in Potiphar's wife's hand. As a married couple, create environment where you are always able to resist and to flee sexual and temptation. Put boundaries to help you resist temptation. I've seen couples on Facebook where they put pictures of themselves together as a couple so that, you know, people will know this is a married couple. I've seen couples who have rules such as cell phones. They have each other's cell phone and Facebook passwords. They can answer each other's cell phones. That's one way of putting boundaries and protecting the covenant so that, you know, they're open, they're transparent. There's no way that you can be having secret affairs via WhatsApp, etc. Those are all good ways of putting boundaries into your covenant relationship and protecting it. Don't discuss your marital issues, your intimate intimate bedroom secrets with your friends. Women like to do this. It's inappropriate, and you can open the door for trouble. So women, don't be talking about your husband and your bedroom secrets with your girlfriends, etc. It can open the door for trouble. Put boundaries. Learn to put boundaries in your marriage and protect your marital covenant relationship. The fourth, we've done three now. The fourth relationship boundaries I want to talk about quickly is parental boundaries. And I'm not going to go very deep in this. Just mention one thing around parental boundaries, boundaries that we as parents need to put in place with our children. And I want to say this just generally to say, listen, parents, it's okay to have a friendly relationship with your children. In fact, I have friendly relationships with all my children. But I need you to know this. You can have a friendly relationship with your children, but always remember that they are your children first and not your friends. It's different. You can have a friendly relationship with them, but they are not your friends. And they too, your children also need to understand that you are their parent and not their friend. And if they don't understand this, if they think you are their peers, you are on the same level with them, you're my buddy, you know, kasasutu and Setswana, uchomiaka. If they operate on that level, if that is their understanding, they will not and cannot receive correction from you. They need to understand that even though you are friendly and you can have friendly relationship with them, you are not their friend. You are their parent. And that demarcation, that delineation, that boundary must be made by you as the parent. I've said that oftentimes with my children, reminding them often that, by the way, I'm your parent, not your friend. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. So remembering that you know, we are to train up a child. It's not the child to train you up, parent. It's you to train up the child. So make sure that the boundaries are in place. Not so much that you become a disciplinarian, that the child is scared of you, but that there are enough boundaries to separate and to distinguish who is the parent and who is the child. Praise God. Last one. And the last 2 minutes to talk about is friendship boundaries. Friendship boundaries. As friends, we also need to know that there are some boundaries that we need to put in place, the do's and don'ts of making sure that we keep the relationship. First and foremost, I do want to say to you that, you know, in Corinthians, we're told not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Praise the Lord. And the Bible tells us, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Does that mean that we're not supposed to associate at all with unbelievers? No, certainly we must associate with them, especially if we have to share the gospel with them. But your close covenant relations, your close friends, it will be difficult to be a close friend with somebody who is an unbeliever, who has different values from you. It will be difficult to be close friends with them and not be impacted by their value system. So I want to encourage you that first and foremost, your close friends, your covenant friends, your Jonathan and David kind of friendship, should be friends with people who are believers, who are born again, who share the same value system as you. Proverbs 13:20 also reminds us that it says, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. He that walks with the wise shall be wise. He that is a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So make sure that you walk with the wise. You make sure that you walk with people of a similar belief, who believe in Yeshua and who have similar value system that is fed and directed by the word of God. And, you know, that you can encourage one another. You can pray together with the word of God. That is the first boundary that you need to put and place in terms of having close friends, close friends. So let's hear me well when I said close friends. And one of the things you must remember, having friends, be careful not to enable bad behavior. Sometimes we just flatter our friends. We don't tell them the truth. So one of the boundaries is, you know, just make sure that we tell our friends the truth. We tell them the truth. But in speaking the truth, And speaking the truth, let's make sure that we speak the truth in love, according to Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head. If you're always criticizing, don't allow your friendship to be open, so open that you're always criticizing, always putting them down, etc. Place a boundary and make sure that you're not just operating in critical criticizing mode, because always criticizing can be damaging to one's heart and one's health. So make sure that we speak the truth in love. We encourage, we encourage them. Validate them when they've done good things, encourage them with a word, encourage them and tell them when they've done right, all of that. And lastly, let's not take friends for granted. Appreciate them and tell them, compliment them when they've done well, and correct them in love when they missed the boat a bit. And don't abuse our friends. Take them and love them and appreciate them and be grateful for them, and let's not abuse them. God bless you, and thank you for listening to this word.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good morning, SKM Shimikoti Ministries International Radio Network, with Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia on our Western Standard Time, bringing you the word of the Lord. And on this topic, to be led by the Spirit of God. One of the highest desires in life, one of the highest appealings that I would like to encourage everybody in these days we're living in, it is to learn the secret of being led by the Spirit of God. I'm sure you agree with me that after the coronavirus pandemic in 2020, there's been a running up and down, helter-skelter, people trying to find out what is God saying, or what is my zodiac saying, what is, whether you're visiting the clairvoyance or New Age or fortune-telling. People have been running up and down, not knowing exactly who to consult and what to look for. For you and I, as God's people, we thank God because we have been given a roadmap by which we can understand what the will of God is. Psalms 23 and verse 4, the Bible says, "He will lead me in the pathway of righteousness for his name's sake." It's important for us to know that God's children, we are led in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And I want to use that scripture, and I want to use the core foundation of it, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are children of God." Now, when you look at that verse, when you look at that chapter, Romans chapter 8, the words of the Apostle Paul, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God." It is imperative that you and I understand what is the leading of the Word of God in our lives. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's go together into what God has given us as we see what the Word of God says. Life is a series of starts and stops. Life is a series of starts and stops. There are times where we have to stop, and there are times we have to start all over again. Your life, right from the time when you were born to the time to where you are right now, no matter how old you are, you will find out it has not been a smooth way that goes on and on and on and on and on. It is a series of starts and stops. So what I want us to do right now, I want us to look at what the Word of God teaches us as far as being led by the Spirit of the living God. Remember, Romans 8 and verse 14 is our foundational text. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are children of God." If this is what the Bible wants me to embrace and to understand, that I am a child of God, determined by how much of my life am I prepared to be led by His Spirit. So it will become one of the most key and pivotal things in life. If I want, therefore, to be led by the Spirit of God, I'm going to give you a few things that I believe are very critical in our lives. To be led by the Spirit of God, therefore, I will need, first and foremost, to be careful that I won't allow culture, the world's value system around me, to be my guide. I repeat. Number one, if Paul is alluding to the fact that in order for me to be led by the Spirit of God, then that's a determination that I am a child of God. My being a child of God is determined by how much I am prepared to be led by His Spirit. So allow me therefore to give you what I call the five not to. Number one, not to. If I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God, I need to be careful that I am not led by the culture, by the world's value system surround me. Ask yourself that question. What is in the culture surrounding you that seems to be leading your life? Is it mob psychology? Are you led by the fashions of this world around you? Are you allowing yourself, the culture, to determine the course of your life? Are you the type of a Christian? Everything goes as everyone is creating that pattern. It is a common phenomenon where you hear people say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Are you led, or are you allowing yourself to be led by the culture, the value system that is surrounding you? You wear what they wear, you do as they do. So be careful not to allow the culture around you to set the pattern if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8 verse 4 in our text. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. Number two, not two. To be led by the Spirit of God, I need to be careful not to follow the friends that do not follow the God I serve. Watch the way that I have said it. Friendship with the world, the Bible says, it's enmity with God. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself as living sacrifices before God. But then he goes on to say, once again, Apostle Paul, he says, do not conform yourselves to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds by the word of God. I cannot be led by the Spirit of God if I allow the friends around me who do not follow God. That's the catalyst there. Friends around me. There are a lot of Christians who seek counsel and guidance for their future, for their destiny, for their tomorrow, from friends who are not following God. I know a lot of Christians who have deviated from that which God had given and intended for their lives because of peer pressure. Because of following the worldly friends which do not follow God's pattern for our lives. What are we saying? Let's put a balance there. You see, every child of God, you are supposed to Love all people. You are supposed to love even the unlovable. You are supposed to love even the worldly friends. But watch the difference. You are not supposed to allow their value system to be your guide, because their source of inspiration, their source of guidance is not the same as your source of guidance. So what that means is, I can love my friends, but the desire is for me to be an influence over their lives and not vice versa. There are two gadgets that we know that we use in our everyday life. One is called a thermometer. The other one is called a thermostat. A thermostat regulates the heat and regulates the cold. But a thermometer measures the temperatures of what is without changing the environment around it. God's desire for you and I is to make sure that we are not thermometers who just take, which measure the temperature of what is surrounding us. The desire of God in our lives is to be like thermostats, so that we can regulate that which God has called us to be. The Bible says in 1 John 2 verse 15, don't love the world. What does that mean? Because the same John who says not to love the world and everything that is within it, he also says in John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world. So where do we go with this? It's important, ladies and gentlemen, that you understand 1 John 2 verse 15, love not the world, is not talking about the people. It's talking about the world system, the value system. John 3 16, for God so loved the world, talks about the people. So we are called by God to love the people and hate the world's value system. If you and I are going to be led by God, if you and I are going to be led by God, we need to understand that we need to be led by the Spirit of God. And in order for us to be led by the Spirit of God, we need to be careful that we are not led by the value system of the world, but we are led by the Spirit of God. That is the second thing that is very, very crucial into our lives. But number three, in order for us to be led by God, we cannot allow our feelings to lead us if we're going to be led by God. Don't allow your feelings. You see, your feelings are unreliable. Your feelings go up and down. Your feelings should always be checkered by the Word of God. Because if you allow your feelings to lead you, your feelings can mislead you. Because today your feelings, you might feel like praying. But if you follow your feelings, sometime tomorrow you're going to feel like sleeping. You'll feel like doing something else. Your feelings are not a standard of measure for you to be led by the Spirit of the living God. Many people, they felt like doing things. You know the story of how David was tempted and ended up taking Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. He saw the poor woman taking a bath on the housetop. Felt good in his flesh watching Bathsheba taking a bath. And he thought, husband is at war, I'm at home, beautiful woman, I feel like having her. The feelings that produced the lust in his life led him to take Uriah's wife, somebody's wife, and slept with her. One thing led to the other. Killed Uriah through an instruction he had given. Feelings are not a good reliance upon if you're going to be led by the Spirit of the living God. Ladies and gentlemen, in order for you and I to be led by the Spirit of God, we cannot allow our feelings to be a reliable source to be led by God. Number four. In order for you and I to be led by the Spirit of God, remember Romans 8 verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are children of God. We cannot allow our circumstances to be our final authority. If we're going to be led by the Spirit of God, to be led by the Spirit of God, cannot allow our circumstances to play a center stage in doing the will of God. Acts chapter 27, verse 10 and verse 13 to verse 15 allude to the point when 276 prisoners and Paul is among the prisoners. They are sailing, going to Rome. Paul, an angel, appeared to him at night to warn the captain of the ship and their crew that if they had left, the journey was going to be stormy. There will be a loss of lives, loss of luggage. So he warned the captain that the journey was going to be dangerous. The voyage was going to be tumultuous. But listen to what the Bible says. When a soft breeze, circumstances. If you ever found yourself encountered by soft, gentle breeze, at that time, many of us are quick to say, God must be in it. A soft, gentle breeze. And you think God must be in it. Circumstances that are not checkered by the authority of the word of God can mislead you. The Bible says when they followed the gentle breeze, the captain ignored what Paul had said, and they followed the gentle breeze into a storm. Many lives, and the ship was destroyed. It did not been of God who spared all the prisoners on board. The whole ship was broken in pieces. Circumstances are not the final authority to be led by God. You should always check your circumstances with the word of God. You want another situation? Jonah. God spoke to him clearly, Nineveh, to preach the word. Circumstances. You find himself going down to Joppa. Found a ship, bought a ticket. Circumstances. There was a space. Bought a ticket, got a seat. Circumstances. Went and sat under, below the deck of the ship. Everything was perfect. The guards came about looking for the ticket. Everything was fine. Jonah was happy. He wasn't going to Nineveh. He was not going to Tarshish. Circumstances. Halfway through the trip, God was calling him. Cost the sailors their luggage, their baggage, their important stuff into the sea because of one man. Circumstances. Ladies and gentlemen, it is important that we understand that if we're going to be led by God, number one, you can't allow your culture to dictate if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. Number two, you can't allow your friends that do not follow God? Who are you listening to as far as your destiny, your future, and your tomorrow is concerned? Number three, you can't allow your feelings. They are unreliable. You feel cold today, you feel hot tomorrow. You feel good today, you feel rough tomorrow. Your feelings need to be checkered by the will of God. The Bible says, as many as are led, not as many as feel, as many as are led. Your feelings are unreliable. But number four, we found out as well, you cannot be led by the Spirit of God if you allow your circumstances to lead you into the will of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, our listeners, this is where we are at. We are going around with that scriptural foundation. For as many as are led by the Spirit, I'm sure there are many of you today that says, I need God's direction for my life. I've lost my job. Some of you, you have lost your families. For some of you, you have been cut down at work. For some of you, you have been made redundant. You are looking right now, what are my options? Listen to me. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, God's Spirit desires to lead you into marriage, desires to lead you into getting a new opportunity, desires to lead you in getting a job, desires to lead you in the direction for your children, for your sons, for your daughter, for your finances. There are many voices. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me and hear me well. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are children of God. I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to be that one that will not follow the voice of my culture, the voice of my friends that do not follow God, the voice of my feelings, the voice of my circumstances. But lastly, if you're going to be led by God, do not follow other sources that do not derive their authority from God. You can think this seems to be the same, but it's not the same. You cannot follow and look to other sources other than God. What are other sources? I am shocked to see that in the world we are living here today, many Christians, some, if not most of us, find guidance from zodiacs, find our guidance about a tomorrow, fortune telling. Many Christians would rather find guidance about the tomorrow from horoscopes. My star is Aries. My star is Cancer. My star is Virgo. Christians find meaning and destiny from horoscopes. The devil is a liar. You cannot be led by the Spirit of God if your sources is into clairvoyance, into fortune telling, into palm reading, tarot cards. There is a one word for all those mediums that I've given you right now. And that word is divination. Deuteronomy chapter 18. God warns his people not to consult the dead, not to consult the spirits, not to consult sciences and Scientology, not to consult the witches. You and I, as a child of God, God's people, we need to be led by the Spirit of the living God. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo on SKM Shimikoto Ministries Radio Network, as we brought you the element of the Word of God in these days that we're living in. In the days of COVID-19, may you get these five major things, areas, categories, not two, if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God. Remember, David says, he leads me in the pathway of righteousness for his name's sake. God's desire is to lead you, and his leadership is always to the right place, at the right time. There might be pain sometimes when you follow the leading of God's Spirit, but there's always, it's always ending to be good for you. May God bless you. Thrive in him. knowing very well he has begun a good work in you and he will lead you to eternity. In Jesus' mighty name. This was the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia on a Western Standard Time, bringing you the voice of destiny, empowered for your destiny. God bless you. Bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.